I've always wanted to be a superhero. Is anybody else with me on that? Have you always wanted to be a superhero? I've always wanted to be a superhero. I just love the fact that superheroes, they're different. They're not all the same. And they all have different powers and abilities. They all don't do the same things. I love the fact that they're unique, but yet they have superpowers and super abilities. I've always wanted to be a superhero. In fact, my favorite superhero growing up was Superman. Anybody else Superman fans in the house? Superman fans? All right, cool. So it's amazing, Superman, you know, the coolest part about him was he wore his outfit underneath his clothes. Interesting. I'm not even going to mention, you know, he worked in an office building. I'm sure there were times he had to take potty breaks. How he did all that, I'm not going to ask, but, you know, he wore his outfit underneath his clothes and, you know, he would rip open his shirt and there would be a big S. And then he would run out of the building. So I always wanted to be Superman. Up until the point where I had to wear my Superman pajamas to prison. You heard me correctly. I had to wear my Superman pajamas to prison. Now, you're probably wondering, okay, Pastor, you got to explain this. Where are you going with this? So my grandmother, wonderful, wonderful saint, wonderful lady, you know, she did grandmom things, like lick her thumb and try to rub things off of you, you know, dirt and those types of things. You can't see it, but I have a little tiny mole in the corner of my mouth. Obviously, you can't see it because I've got facial hair. But when I was younger, it stood out a little bit more, and my grandmother was convinced that I just didn't wash my face good enough. So she would literally take a washcloth, her thumb, whatever she could get her hand on, a Brillo pad, SOS. I mean, she would try to scrape the mole off of the corner of my mouth. Like to the point where it didn't turn, you know, it wasn't brown anymore. It was now bright red. And I was trying to explain to my grandmother, I'm like, Grandma, it was like, it's a mole. It's a part of me. You're trying to rub away, you know. And so she did stuff like that. And one time, so I had a family member that unfortunately was incarcerated in prison. And I didn't know that that's where we were going. I was very young. I was probably 8 or 9, so about Peyton's age. And we would go to visit my cousin. And when we would go to visit, I thought it was kind of cool. I had to take off my shoes and, you know, a person would come over and kind of touch me and pat me down to make sure I didn't have anything. I was like, all right, you know, and I had to walk through an X-ray machine like at the airport. And, you know, I had no idea. They put a little stamp on my hand that only showed up in certain light. And when we would go inside, we would be greeted by there would be other families, other people visiting. On this particular occasion, however, I was getting dressed for the day, and I put on my outfit, and I don't know if my grandmother was just trying to teach me a lesson, or it was laundry day, or what, but she said, oh no, you're going to wear that today, and this was my full-blown Superman pajamas, right? So we're talking blue, really tight pajama bottoms, thin little cotton with red, you know, around the ends and around and long sleeves, big S, and literally had a Velcro spot here and here for the cape. Does anybody remember this? Does anybody? Yeah, there's like, JC's like, we still got those. So literally, and I'm trying to convince my grandmother, I'm like, Grandma, these are pajamas. Oh no, it's an outfit. It looks great. You just wear that. And I'm like, I'm not wearing this to go to visit. And she was like, oh no, you're gonna wear that. And like the whole entire time I'm losing this argument. So here I go, and I've got like the white socks with tennis shoes, you know, sneakers, wearing my Superman pajamas. And I'm going to visit in prison. Yes, this is true. And I can remember, like, walking in the door, I'm mortified. I don't want to be Superman anymore. Like, I don't want to be seen right now. I mean, it had, like, the little color difference where the underwear went. You know what I'm talking about? It was embarrassing. And so I walk in, and, like, all the guards are like, hey, Superman, you know? You know, and then I go and we visit, you know, my family member, and there, you know, he comes walking out and he's like, "Hey, Super Steve," you know. And all I had to do was look at him and just say, "Grandma." That was it. And he's like, "Ah, yeah, I get it. I get it." But I always wanted to be Superman up until that point. Now, if you ever watched these shows, how many of you grew up watching superhero shows? Right? Okay, so you've seen these. Either shows or different movies. There's lots of different entertainment things that you can see superheroes in. I always had a question about the superheroes. They seem to destroy a lot of things. Has anybody else noticed this? Like, they will go into an area and, you know, one person is in trouble, but they take down an entire city to save this one person, right? Do you notice this? And I don't blame, like, the mayors and the municipalities. Like, at some point, you know, when all this destruction is happening, they got the $1 million bandit, and it cost them, like, $20 million to do it, right? And so I don't blame the mayors and the municipalities. They're kind of like, "Oh, no, Batman, we're good. We're good." You know, or Spider-Man, no, you just do your thing, and don't worry about Metropolis, it'll be fine, you know what I mean? And they were really kind of like, "We don't want your help." Have you noticed that? Like, it reached a certain point where they're kind of like, "I don't know if we're ready to kind of go into this whole thing." Well, it reminds me of these two stories, kind of remind me, you know, when I showed up at the prison wearing my Superman pajamas, and I thought about it and I correlated it to the understanding of a superhero trying to live in this world. It recalled a phrase that I think that as many of us are familiar with it, it's called being in the world, but not of the world. How many of you are familiar with this phrase? Being in the world, but not of the world. So if we think about this, there's a difference between a superhero being in the world and not being of the world. And what's interesting is they reach a point where their services are no longer rendered needless. They're told that they're not needed anymore. That there's places that they go, they cause more grief than they do trying to help somebody. So it kind of reminds me, as we look at the clip from the movie The Incredibles, kind of reminds me of this.
In a stunning turn of events, a superhero is being sued for saving someone who apparently didn't want to be saved. The plaintiff, Oliver Sansweet, who was foiled in his attempted suicide by Mr. Incredible, has filed suit against the famed superhero in Superior Court.
Mr. Sansweet didn't ask to be saved. Mr. Sansweet didn't want to be saved. And the injury received from Mr. Incredible's actions, so-called, causes him daily pain.
Hey, I saved your life!
You didn't save my life, you ruined my debt! That's what you're...
Listen,
my client has no further comment at this time.
5 days later, another suit was filed by the victims of the L train accident. Incredible's court losses cost the government millions and opened the floodgates for dozens of superhero lawsuits the world over.
It is time for their secret identity to become their only identity. Time for them to join us or go away.
Under tremendous public pressure and the crushing financial burden of an ever-mounting series of lawsuits, the government quietly initiated the Superhero Relocation Program. The supers would be granted amnesty from responsibility for past actions in exchange for the promise to never again resume hero work. Where are they now? They are living among us, average citizens, average heroes, quietly and anonymously continuing to make the world a better place.
So we have a whole generation of superheroes that are no longer allowed to be super because they were seen as people that caused more havoc than they helped. And they have the ability to help, but they're told, "No, you're just making things worse." It's kind of like what Jesus experienced, if you think about it, when a couple weeks ago, we talked about the demon-possessed man that Jesus healed in Mark 5. Jesus showed up on the shores of the Gerasenes, and this demon-possessed man comes out, and he heals the man. He sends the legion of demons into the pigs. Where do the pigs go? Bloop, off the side into the water. Thousands of pigs were lost that day. How was Jesus treated in that moment? He did something supernatural. He did something pretty incredible by freeing this man of these thousands of demons. But yet the people came out and they were more concerned about the pigs than they were about the man. And what did they do with Jesus? They said, no, you need to go. And why did they say that? One, because of the pigs, and two, because they thought Jesus had this like black magic, this superpower that they didn't quite understand. So because they didn't understand it, they decided to push him away. And so where did Jesus go? Got back on the boat, and he left that area. It's really kind of the same thing if you think about it. So let's go back to the story of Bob Parr, Mr. Incredible. AKA Mr. Incredible. His name's Bob Parr. Well, because of the superhero relocation program, Bob is required now to live a life of mediocrity. Not just he doesn't have really much of a choice. He's told he has to live a life of mediocrity. Where are your superheroes now? They're among you as ordinary people, right? They're told to blend in. No powers. You can't use your powers anymore. And really, the truth is, he can't be who he really is. So really, and it affects his whole family. His wife is Elastigirl, and his daughter, Vi, her superpower is to be invisible, and she can throw out force fields. His son, Dash, is named Dash because he's incredibly quick. He's fast. And the baby, Jack-Jack, is the one who can transform into anything. So what's amazing is we have a whole entire family that is not allowed to be who they are because the world around them looks at them and says, no, we don't want you. Think about this. It's a whole family of Incredibles with incredible powers that they can't use because people don't accept them for who they are. So it's got to be hard to live as a superhero, but basically be told you're not allowed to be who you are. It's pretty hard to realize that everything you touch breaks because of your superhuman power, but yet when you pick up the car over your head, your neighbor Timmy is sitting in the driveway saying, whoa, what's going on? So if we think about this, we need to change the mindset. We need to change our own mindset. See, the Incredibles found themselves not only being in the world, but now they also found themselves being of the world. They were forced and told to be not just in it, but now become a part of it, be of it. Take on the characteristics of this world. You can't be who you are. You can't be who you're created to be. And they ended up blending into the world. And what did they do? They pushed down their supernatural abilities and their gifts. What about you? This does pertain to you if you think about it. You see, if you're a Christian in this world, you're seen automatically as different. You're put aside sometimes. In fact, we find and we'll later discover in John 17, I'm just going to go ahead and invite you to turn to that passage of Scripture now. It's in page 825 of your pew Bible. So if you want to use a pew Bible in front of you, it's 825. We're going to look at John 17, where this understanding of being in the world but not of the world, where it comes from. But what about you? How much have you suppressed who you are in order to fit into the world around you? How much have you said, no, people around me think I'm weird because I'm different. I do things differently. I look at things differently. I do some things and I don't do some things. And there's people around me that think that that's different. How much have you conformed to the pattern of this world? You see, because if you're a Christian this morning, I want to talk to you for a second because your Christianity is being lived in a post-Christian world. We are no longer a Christian nation. You can't call America, even though all the statistics still proclaim and claim that, you know, a certain high percentage of people believe in God. Well, that's right, they do. But if you look deeper into the statistics, you begin to see the true face value. God is not defined as deity or being of Christ. It's not the Trinity and God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. It's different. So we're trying to be Christians in a post-Christian world, in a post-Christian culture. And now that immediately puts us in a different set of circumstances than everybody else. Because if you look different, if you act different, then something must be wrong, right? So if we look at the phrase, in the world, but not of the world, it really is confusing. It's kind of confused me, to be honest with you. I mean, in general, I get it. But I think it also potentially sends the wrong message. If you look at that, in the world but not of the world, potentially sends the message that we're kind of stuck here, doesn't it? That we're in the world but we're not of the world. It's like, I'm in this world. Can't wait to get out. You know, it's like, but I'm not of the world, because if I'm of the world, then I'm going to be like everybody else, and I'm supposed to be transformed and different and changed. And I think sometimes that's the impression that we give people, is that we're just stuck here and that we can't wait to be beamed up, right? We can't wait to just get out of here to leave. We're only here to leave. Well, the question I have is, what happened to thy kingdom come? Thy kingdom come on earth as it's already happening in heaven. What happened to the passion of restoring things, of redeeming, being on mission with Christ as he calls us to restore the world with him, as we become agents of change for the kingdom? And the whole purpose of us to live that out, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth. You know, Revelation 5 that we read this morning even says that he enables us to be priests here. Where? Where is it? On earth. It's not a matter of being in the world and of the world so that we can just kind of check out and go and really just kind of put our time in and disassociate with everything else and say, well, I'm good. So, I mean, as soon as I get to a certain point, I'll just forget about the world and go. That's not what it's saying at all. There's a call that if you're a Christ follower, you're called to be a part of the redemption of the world. You're called to be a part of the restoration of the world, to be on mission with Christ. Christ is the only one that can redeem it and restore it, but he calls us to partner with him in that process. There was always this song, and I can't remember if it's Audio Adrenaline or who it is, but it's Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth. You guys remember this song, B-I-B-L-E? Spells Bible, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth. Can I just confess to you this morning? That's terrible. It was a fun song when I was growing up and everything, but this isn't basic instructions. These are the instructions, and it's not about leaving Earth. It's about living within the world around you and how to navigate those waters. You have a manual, a training tool, an instruction tool to help you to answer the questions that you have about how do I live in the world around me? This isn't an instruction tool of how can I buy fire insurance and just protect myself so I can go when I'm done. That's not what this book is about. That's why it's so important for us to read it every day and be transformed by it every day. Because it's like, how do you program the clock on your VCR if you don't look at the manual? I mean, yeah, sure, you can go over to the VCR and you can punch a bunch of buttons and eventually it gets to like 24 hours and then, you know, when it's supposed to go to 12 o'clock, it goes to 13 o'clock and you're like, what's 13 o'clock? I don't get it. But you know what? I've actually have succumbed to the pressure and I start reading manuals now because things are complicated, isn't it? So I start reading manuals and I start learning, if I just follow these three easy steps, all of a sudden my VCR will, you know, it'll make waffles for me. I mean, it's amazing. But think about it, life is complicated. How are you going to make it through life if you don't pick up the manual? of how to navigate that, the world around you. Let's keep moving forward. So I think that we need to change our mindset. John 17, it's one of my favorite passages. It comes on the eve right before the crucifixion, and it shows us what Jesus prays to his Father and his desire for his, not just his disciples, but for his followers as well. So I'm going to read here from John 17, starting at verse 14. It says, I've given them your word, and the world hates them because they do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. I'm not asking you to take them out of the world. Remember, this is Jesus praying to his Father. He's in the garden before the crucifixion. He's just about to be betrayed. And this is his final prayer to his Heavenly Father. I'm not asking you to take them out of the world, but to keep them safe from the evil one. They do not belong to this world any more than I do. Make them holy by your truth. Teach them your word, which is truth. Just as you sent me into the world, I am sending them into the world. And I give myself as a holy sacrifice for them so they can be made holy by your truth. I am praying not only for these disciples, this is where we come in, but also for all who will ever believe in me through their message. He's not just praying this prayer for the 12 the 11 that are around him. He's praying this prayer for you and me as we sit here in Naperville, Illinois in 2015. That's amazing. I mean, verses 14 and 16, they seem to indicate that Jesus doesn't want his followers to be of the world. Can we agree with that this morning? Just raise your hand if you agree. He's saying very clearly here that he doesn't want his followers to be of the world. So this is an example that Jesus set to be in, but not of. This is where he starts to share with his Heavenly Father, saying, you know, they're in the world, but I don't want them to be of the world. So there's an author and a pastor, David Mathis, he points out, he says, for Jesus, being not of the world isn't the destination in these verses, but it's the starting place. I like that. You see, Jesus isn't the quarterback in the holy huddle. And he's not just giving us the next play to move the ball down the field. It's not what he's doing at all. Because look at verse 18. He says, just as you sent me into the world, I am sending them into the world. This isn't just the holy huddle for us to just kind of powwow together and learn and just be amongst ourselves. This is an invitation, as Jesus says, just Heavenly Father, you sent me into the world. So just as you sent me into the world to be salt and to be light, I'm sending them. And who's he talking to? Is he talking to just the 11? No. He's talking to the 11, and he's talking to you and me. He's talking to all of us. So my favorite verse, if you look at verse 15, is, I'm not asking you to take them out of the world, but to keep them safe from the evil one. So what do we do with this? Because obviously he doesn't want us to be of the world, but he's also telling us, I don't want them to be of the world, and I'm not asking you to take them out. But I am asking you that you protect them from the evil one. It'd be like the leader of the superheroes telling his people, I've given you powers on purpose. Now use them. If there was like a leader of the superheroes, if there was like a heavenly father of the superheroes, and he's the one that gives out all of the different gifts and all the different superpowers, it'd be like him looking at them and saying, I've given you this power on purpose. Now go use it. That's what Jesus is telling us. I've given you these things. I know it's going to cost you a lot, but I want you to use them now. I want them to use them now. And here's the thing. I have to tell you this. This is important. The world will not thank you for it. The world's not going to thank you for it. And again, look at verse 14. And the world hates them because they do not belong to the world. Have you ever experienced that type of persecution? Has anybody, maybe a schoolmate or a friend or a classmate, or maybe it's a coworker, or maybe it's somebody in your life that has actually shown hatred towards you because of your belief. Has anybody ever experienced that? I have. In fact, our kids that are in this room probably experience it more than you do, adults. They probably experience more of being pushed aside because they're not afraid, because they have childlike faith to say, I'm a believer and I believe in Jesus. And other classmates look at them and go, Jesus, who's that? Oh, you go to church? Oh, church. Who goes to church anymore? I mean, that's what they experience. And we experience forms of that too. The world's not going to thank you for it. But hear me say this. It's because they don't know that they need it. The world doesn't know. What did Jesus say on the cross? Father, forgive them. He's on the cross and he's crying out, forgive them. Why? Because they know not what they do. Because they know not what they do. People persecute you because they don't know that what you have is the thing that could unlock the chains that are binding them up. They don't know. And because it's something different, their initial reaction is always going to be, no, keep it. That's fine. I don't care. Jesus looks at the Christian and he looks at you and he prays this prayer to his Father. Don't take them out of this world, but protect them from the evil one. He also prays, just as you sent me into the world, I am sending them into the world. Picture this. Picture Jesus in the garden, about to be betrayed. He's about to hang on the cross for you and for me. And he's in such great anguish, he's sweating drops of blood because he's so stressed out about what's about to happen. And he doesn't know the full extent necessarily about what's all that's going to take place in the next few hours. But in that moment, he's not thinking about himself, he's thinking about you. And he's praying to his Father, don't take them. Don't take the congregation that's here this morning in 2015 in Naperville. Don't take them out of the world, but protect them from the evil one. And he looks at all Christians. I'm just trying to make it more realistic for us to understand and grasp hold of what he's saying to you and to me this morning. And he says, just as you sent me into the world, Father, I am sending them into the world. So let's make sure we have this in the right order. This is Jesus' order. This is what he explained to us. Number one, not of the world. He said, you can't be of the world. You can't blend in and look like everybody else. You can't live in such a way that people don't know or realize that you're a Christ follower. You know, I'm not advocating that we all become, you know, recluses or become radicals that don't understand the balance of what that looks like and the ebb and the flow and the give and take of that. But the truth is, I look around and I see a lot of people who look a lot like the world, and they're not allowing themselves to be transformed by the Holy Spirit. Because they're just living what the world tells them to live instead of being told by the Holy Spirit how to live. The second thing is that we are sent into the world. So we're not of the world, and we're sent into the world. This goes together with Romans 12:2. I'm going to close. Romans 12:2 tells us, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. We're familiar with this. If you're the NIV is probably something that we're all familiar with. Don't be transformed any longer don't conform any longer to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And I like the NLT, how it reads here. Don't copy the behaviors and customs of this world. Now listen, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. What's interesting about Romans chapter 12 is later it actually talks about how Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, gives us spiritual gifts. It gives us spiritual gifts in order for us to edify what? The church. For us to work together. Each of us are different. Each of us look different. We act differently. We all have different spiritual gifts. And when we bring them together, called the body of Christ, then we're really complete. As it says in Romans 12, we become one. Jesus' desire is that we become one. If you keep reading in John 17, he says, make them one as you and I are one. So there's a lot of stuff that's happening here, but it really helps us to understand that it starts with not being of the world, and it aims at the target of being on mission with Jesus. So this is what we're going to do. We're going to flip the script. Are you ready to flip the script? This is what we're used to. In, but not of. But let's flip the script now. I think it needs to say, not of, but sent into. I think it needs to say, not we're not of this world, but we are sent into this world. And like I just said earlier, it's we start with not being of the world, and we aim at the target of being on mission with Jesus in the world. This isn't a playbook on how to leave. This is a playbook on how to live. Can I say that again? Because either we're too far gone or people's bellies are too empty. Because I was anticipating a hearty amen. Because this isn't an understanding in a book and even the message of Jesus as he's on his hands and knees sweating great drops of blood for you and for me. This isn't a message of leaving. It's a message of living. Thank you. It's a message of living. How to do that now? We need to recognize that after Jesus transforms and renews your mind, as we see in Romans chapter 12, he then prays for you. And not only does he pray for you and intercedes for you and your Heavenly Father, but he goes with you. What is the thing that he said over and over again? And lo, I will be with you always. Isn't that what he told us? As you go on mission with him into the world, he says that I pray for you to my Heavenly Father that he will protect you from the evil one, and I also go with you into the world. He goes with us. So what are we afraid of? The truth is, if you're a Christian this morning, you're the superhero. You're the superhero. You've been given gifts and abilities and talents from your Heavenly Father that are unique to you. And because he wired you that way, because he made you that way, he's looking at you and he's saying, okay, now use them. Use them. Do something with them. And I would say that those superpowers, it really, if you think about it, are spiritual gifts. So we have these incredible incredible superhuman ability as we follow Christ and go into this world. Yes, the world will not thank you for it. Let's just go on the record. In fact, the world's going to hate you because of it. And I'm just being honest this morning. I don't want anybody to ever sign up for something that they're not aware of. But the world's going to hate you because you know why? When you allow the Holy Spirit to transform you and to renew your mind and to change the way you think, all of a sudden you begin to do things differently. You don't involve yourself with gossip around the water cooler. You don't chime in when somebody tells a dirty joke or a bad joke and you come in with them and you start acting like everybody else. Because when you allow the Holy Spirit to do that, I'm not standing up here saying, Pastor Steve told me I should do this. That's not this message. In fact, I don't stand up here as a representative of the Nazarene denomination saying, well, the Nazarene church tells me I should do this. Folks, if a church or if a person is the one who's telling you how you ought to live, you've missed the point. The point is, you have to listen to the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit will guide you into all truth. We are here to help you along the way. That's our point. That's our purpose. The reason why we're here today as a Church of the Nazarene is because we want to help you along the way. But we don't want to rule or lord over you or tell you, because you know why? God has made you uniquely and wonderfully made. He's given you spiritual gifts. All of you have your letter of your first name underneath your shirt. Man, if I was thinking, I would have done that. Because that would have been cool if I just ripped open my shirt and it said, big S right here. But you know what? If you rip open your shirt, your first letter of your first name is on there. Do you know why? Because Christ made you. And he says, I've given you gifts, I've given you talents, I've given you abilities, and I will pray to my Heavenly Father that he protects you from the evil one, and I will go with you into the world. Because folks, it's not about, we're not of the world, but we are sent into the world. Amen? Stand with me as we close. Gracious Heavenly Father, this morning we're challenged by your prayer. Not even just by the word, which you told us is truth. And you told us that you've given us the word. We hold it in our hands. I pray, read it every day. And that word, Lord Jesus, will begin to guide our hearts and guide our minds. But Lord, this morning we're reminded by your prayer, by the fact that you prayed to your Heavenly Father and recognized and understood that as your disciples, as your followers, we are not of this world. But in the same breath, you recognized and you challenge us this morning to recognize that we are sent into this world. And Lord, I pray that the challenge of our hearts is not to just escape or disconnect and really kind of don't fulfill the purpose of advancing your kingdom here on earth. I pray that that's not our goal. I pray our goal is to be challenged by your word and to ask you the critical question, Lord, am I doing what you've called me to do? Am I being led the way that you desire to lead me? Am I going into the places that you have asked me to go? And Lord, I pray this morning that each of us would have confidence to know that as we go, you told us, and I want to hold you to the promise right now, Lord Jesus, that you would never leave us, nor would you forsake us, and that you go with us as we go. So we're thankful for that challenge this morning, and we just pray it all in your name. Well, I invite you to hold out your hands and just receive this blessing this morning. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen and amen. You are dismissed.